now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. Make sure you hit that like button down there. Well, you are at it. If you guys want to be part of the show, it is very easy. We are live on YouTube. We are live on X. Hit up the live chat in either of those platforms. Let us know what bets you like tonight in the NBA or the NHL. Also, something pretty big coming up. You may have heard March Madness. Let us know what you like for your futures bets. Let us know if you click the bet button on any playing games or round one games. Okay, so big basketball show today. We have seven total bets for the NBA. John Mettler is back. And then after that, we're going to rip through the NBA. Then we're going to have the official Covers March Madness betting preview. Okay, no more small talk. Let's bring in our NBA guy, Prop Betting King. He is back from the Dominican Republic. Now, we asked him for a topless photo of himself on the beach, but he did decline. John, how you making out? You happy to be back from vacation?
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. It's tough when you don't have access to your sports books, right? Some of them you can't even get in to check the odds, which is a nightmare. So I was constantly bugging my friend. I was like, hey, what's this? Hey, what's that? So nice to be back from a betting standpoint. It's awesome.
Okay, yeah, our guy is back. He is refreshed. He is ready to win. We have seven total bets, a couple of props, a spread, and a total. I'm going to get us started in Boston, where the Detroit Pistons are in town, and I'm going to rally around the young Pistons, take them as a plus 15 underdog, because Detroit is cleaning up as a double-digit dog this season, 14-6 against the spread in their last 20 as a double-digit dog. They're really playing up to the competition. Last time they played in Boston, they were a 17-point underdog. They were very competitive in that game. They only lost by six. And the last time they were in the second game of a back-to-back, which is a situation for both teams, they were a 10-point underdog in Chicago, and they won that game by 10 points. I do think this game has the makings of a letdown spot for Boston. Like I said, also in the second game of a back-to-back, they destroyed the Wizards by 26 yesterday. They got Milwaukee on deck on Wednesday. We have Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, and Derek White all questionable for this game. Don't be surprised if they don't have their foot on the gas for the entirety of the game. And something I like about the Detroit Pistons is that they finish strong. Got to keep this in mind with a big spread like this. They are fifth in the NBA in fourth quarter net rating since the All-Star break, actually ranking ahead of the Celtics. So maybe it takes a backdoor cover to get there. Either way, I like the Pistons to cover as a big underdog tonight. Okay, over to Mettler. Prop City we go. DeAndre Ayton, everyone's favorite player. What do you like for him?
Everyone's favorite player for sure. So I'm playing DeAndre Ayton over 1.5 assists at plus 110. So Ayton in the month of March, it was always kind of awkward. You know, they traded for Ayton. You thought he'd be a big focal point of the Trailblazers all season following that trade after you went out and acquired him. That wasn't really the case. His usage was kind of actually pretty low for him. That hasn't been what's happening in March. Chauncey Billups, you know, his usage is up like 6% relative to like what it is over the regular season. His minutes are up. He's usually about like 32 minutes per game. He's up to like 38 minutes per game, and he's scoring a ton. So you would think like maybe we want to look at his points prop, but I actually think this helps us with his assist prop because, you know, for Ayton, his points prop has moved from 13.5 to 19.5. That's a pretty big move, especially for Ayton. He's been hanging around like 14.5 pretty much the entire season. The assist prop though, 1.5, that's kind of the number he has always traded the whole season. But, you know, a higher usage rate means more touches. You can't get assists if you're not touching the ball. If they're feeding the ball like as much as they are at this current usage rate, that 1.5 plus 110 looks really good. And especially against the Bulls, like why are they, you know, he's going head to head against Nikola Vucevic, not known for his defense. They're going to feed him the ball. Everything's kind of here. I like, you know, Ayton should see a lot of touches tonight against the Bulls, and 1.5 plus 110. I really like this for Ayton.
Okay, next up, let's take the over for Isaac Okoro of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like him to go over his point total of 11.5 tonight against the Indiana Pacers. So Cavs leading scorer Donovan Mitchell is out, and Okoro should benefit. He has been benefiting all season with Mitchell out of the lineup. He averages 13.5 points when Mitchell is out, but just 8.5 when Mitchell is in. Nice minutes boost in all those games without Mitchell as well. And he should see increased shot attempts against the fast-paced Pacers, who are struggling to contain opposing forwards. Since the All-Star break, the Pacers are allowing the second most points to forwards, thanks in part to ranking 26 in free throw attempts allowed. and 25th in opponent three-point percentage. And his shot attempts in March are up by almost three shots a game compared to last month. So I like Okoro to be involved in this one and go over his point total of 11.5. Next up, household name, Santi Aldama.
Yeah.
Aldama.
What Santi, do we got? Santi Aldama over 9.5 points. So I was actually scouting this from, I was looking at Harrison Barnes' assist prop and I was watching their previous matchup. And then while I was watching that, Aldama was just banging threes left and right against the Kings last time they faced. And I was like, hold on, wait a second. Like, what's going here with Aldama? And for, you know, the Kings, they were using Harrison Barnes as the primary defender on Jaren Jackson Jr. And they're having Sabonis come help. Well, Sabonis is helping. That would leave open shooters. And that was kind of like Aldama was the beneficiary of that last time they played. I think it's even better this time for Aldama because the last time they played, they were without, you know, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, they're both back. So if you're the Kings and, you know, you don't have much rim protection, Jaren Jackson Jr. is kind of not a good matchup for them defensively. They're going to have to help. Which shooters are you going to leave? You're going to leave Kennard, Bane. I mean, Aldama only shoots 34% from three, but he'll take them. So I think this is really plays into, like, I think just Aldama will be the beneficiary of how the Kings are going to have to guard Jaren Jackson Jr. He'll get a bunch of open looks. And at 9.5, we're just hoping he makes a couple.
Okay, let's go back to the well on one I played last week. Anthony Simons. I like him to go over his 3-point total of 3.5. I'm screwing up all these names today. Good matchup for him. He is absolutely scorching hot. 4 or more threes in 7 of his last 8 games, including 5 threes a handful of times during that stretch. He's 5th in 3-point attempts in the NBA since the All-Star break, so don't expect volume to be an issue tonight. This is a great opponent to continue his 3-point tear because the Bulls are getting torched from 3-point land. Chicago allowing the 3rd most threes per game since the All-Star break. And check this out. Trend of the day. Jeremy Grant is doubtful, not expected to play. Simons has hit 4 or more threes in 11 of the 12 games he's played in this season without Grant in the lineup. My favorite bet of the day. Over 3.5 threes on that one. Okay, your final pick, Bogdanovich. You like him to fill up the stat sheet here a little bit tonight. Mettler, tell us why.
Yeah, I'm going Bogdanovich over 15.5 points. So this is kind of similar to Harrison Barnes. I was actually looking at DeAndre Hunter just because Bogdanovich, he missed Friday's game against the Jazz with an illness, and he left last night's game with an illness, or they didn't say why he left, but he didn't play the final 7 minutes. It was a 20-point game. So, you know, if he was feeling a little under weather, it kind of makes sense why he wouldn't come back. I was looking at DeAndre Hunter because he was 15.5. And then when Bogdanovich was ruled out on Friday, he jumped to 20.5. So I think there is kind of like a chance you could jump Hunter's points prop and get a really good number. The only problem is I don't think DeAndre Hunter's minutes are guaranteed if Bogdanovich is in. So I'm going to roll with Bogdanovich here because I think, you know, he'll be the beneficiary of the ability of Jalen Johnson, Deonte Murray be able to get in the lane. They said Anthony Davis is expected to play. He has the eye injury, but I want Anthony Davis in because if Anthony Davis is in, Jalen Johnson and Murray can get in the lane, but I want them to kick out to their shooters, which would be Bogdanovich. I'm just rolling with Bogdanovich because, you know, if he is ruled out, it just runs void. You get your money back. I'd just be concerned that if you go after Hunter and Bogdanovich plays, I don't think Hunter's going to get that 30 plus minutes. He's been getting 30 plus minutes off the bench, but the Hawks have been either missing like Jalen Johnson, Bogdanovich, Sadiq Bey. Someone's been missing while he's been doing that. So Bey's still out. But if the other two are in, I'd be concerned about his minutes. So I'm going after Bogdanovich here.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are off until Friday. So expect Anthony Davis and LeBron both to play unless there is some sort of serious injury going on. Okay, final NBA pick coming up in a second. Over 800 people watching live right now on X and on YouTube. Guys, hit up the live chat. Let us know what bets you were on tonight in the NBA and let us know who you like in March Madness. Who is winning the whole damn thing? Our March Madness preview coming right up. But let's end with this game. Hawks. Lakers tonight in Los Angeles. I like over 225 for this one. I think we're going to see a rude awakening for the Atlanta Hawks on the defensive end after an easy stretch of opposing offenses, many of which play at a pretty slow pace. So you might look at Atlanta's defensive numbers lately and think, oh, wow, they've really improved. Well, consider the competition here. Portland, Memphis, Cavs. They played the Nets twice. The Knicks and Magic, who both play at a very slow pace. Now, they're playing the Lakers, who are 3rd in points per game and 6th in offensive rating since the All-Star break. On the other side of the court, though, the Lakers defense taking a lot of nights off. 28th in defensive rating since the All-Star break, 28th in points allowed. They played Atlanta back on January 30th. The Hawks scored 138 points in that game. Los Angeles games averaging 239.2 points since the break. Total here, 225. And an emerging trend has seen the Lakers go 6-1 to the over in games with a total less than 230 points. So I like a high-scoring game tonight in Los Angeles here. Hawks, Lakers. Mettler, before we let you go, who's winning the March Madness tournament?
Well, my favorite team is North Carolina, and they're one seed. So I'm going to say North Carolina. But I'm kind of interested in someone put Rock Chalk Jayhawk here, and I got Samford 9.5 last night. But the one bracket has Tennessee and Purdue, Matt Painter, Rick Burns. As long as I've been alive and watching college basketball, they don't win anything in March. So I'm kind of interested to see. I want to go look at the odds and see what it is to win that region there. I'd fade the one and the two seed there. I haven't watched them play at all this year. I have no idea what their teams are like this year and stuff, but I've watched a lot of college basketball in the past, and they're pretty good at not advancing, those two coaches. So
okay, there you have it. Put your paycheck on North Carolina to win the whole tournament, according to John. John. Yes, sir. All right, buddy. It's good to have you back, and we'll leave it at that for today. We wish you best of luck with those bets, and we'll catch you again on the show on Wednesday.
Sounds good. See you guys on Wednesday.
All right. Dell, co-worker here at Covers Wing, and he likes the Warriors, -5.5. They got the Knicks in town tonight. Pretty low total in that one, 210. Seeing a lot of low scoring in the NBA, though. Okay, let's get into it here, guys. March Madness. We get going with the play-ins. The tournament obviously starts on Thursday. So let's break the whole thing down. We're going with a bit of a Covers threesome here today. And I'm sure that word threesome excites both of my guests here, J-Lo and Ro, who are kicking ass covering college hoops for us here. They're going to be kicking ass throughout the tournament here. So guys, any big takeaways? Selection Sunday last night, a couple teams got burned. Maybe anything stand out from what we saw with the formation of the brackets there last night? J-Lo, we'll start with you.
All right. I was surprised Virginia got a first four. I covered the ACC tournament. A lot of those teams were pretty sketchy. And heading into the bracket, it looked like UNC, Clemson, and Duke were going to be the only sure things there. And then NC State up. Course upsets the cart, and I figured that was going to push teams like Virginia and Pitt, Wake Forest out of the way, but Virginia sneaks in. We'll see. They're a weird team. They're a team that either wins close or they get run out of the gym and blown out. So we'll see what the Cavs have in that first four matchup.
Ro, what do you think stand out in big takeaways from the formation of the bracket here?
Yeah, I mean, I love what J-Lo said about Virginia there, and it's going to be a pretty cool matchup with them against Colorado State in that game, because that's, you know, the exact opposite style, a team that likes to get out and run, likes to shoot, can score usually, so it's just going to be about style there. So an interesting matchup, a little bit surprised maybe to see Virginia there, but this is a team that, still, you know, their offense just is absolutely terrible at times, but defensively still pretty tough. A big one for me, of course, was Indiana State missing out. I think that's a tough one because I think this is a team that could have very well been a Cinderella team. Been really good all year. Indiana State's also one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. So you know that might have a volatile offense, but when they catch on fire, they probably could have shocked just about any team. At the same time, it's going to be tough not being able to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because I think he would have become a household name for sure.
Okay, let's get into the bets here. Take a look at the top of the futures odds board. These odds courtesy of DraftKings. We have UConn, who's favorite to win the whole damn thing, +400, followed by Houston, +500. Purdue, who a lot of people think is a pretty big fraud here, +600. Arizona, 12-1. North Carolina, John Mettler's Tar Heels, 14-1. Auburn, 15-1. Then you have Tennessee, Iowa State, Kentucky, Baylor, Marquette, Creighton. So no beating around the bush here, guys. What is your favorite futures bet for the entire tournament? J-Lo, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, I'll go. I'm going to be boring, and then I'll give one that's not so boring. So UConn's going to win this thing. Top to bottom, they're the best team. They really haven't shown the foundational cracks that we've seen from a lot of the number one, number two, and number three seeds. just think that they're built for this sucker. And so that's plus 400. Maybe it offers a nice hedge in the come national championship game when they get there. But if you want to take a bit of a flyer, you can get the Baylor Bears at plus 3,500, as big as plus 3,500 right now. This is a team with Scott Drew that won a championship just a few years ago. They can score. They can shoot the three, which is so vital during the tournament. Langston Love looks like he's going to be back. So they have some depth there with the top six man. They're a team that doesn't play great defense, so they're going to have to lock it down. Hopefully they get some good matchups. But I think Baylor could be a team that could sneak through that west side of the region.
Okay, Ro, what says you? Best futures bets for the entire tournament. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I got a few ones here. One of them is a bit of a long shot, but I think getting Kansas at plus 5,000 to win the national title is a pretty great little play there. Don't need to put a whole lot on it. I could definitely see Jayhawks flaming out as well. But we had Mettler talk about you know, how Tennessee and Purdue a little bit more vulnerable than a lot of 1 and 2 seeds out there. Kansas still has one of the best coaches in the country. They also have one of the most talented teams in the country. If it wasn't for the Dickinson and McCullough injuries, they probably would be ranked a lot higher. They probably would have finished the season stronger. And like I said, one of the most talented teams in the country with one of the best coaches in the country. And, you know, if you can get that at plus 5,000, anything can happen in March. So I think that's good value. Also, like Arizona to win the title, you can get that as high as plus 1,600. You know, Arizona's kind of like Purdue, where they are coming off that really tough upset loss last year. But they're much better this year, especially in the backcourt. That backcourt was terrible last year. It's why they couldn't get anything going in the, you know, in the opening round. But you look at them this year, much better. You know, they've got, you know, talented backcourt. You've got, you know, Boswell there. You've got Larson, Keshawn Johnson, Ballo. They've got a lot of depth as well. And once it gets into the Final Four, it's going to be in Glendale, Arizona. So a little bit of a home court advantage there for them.
There we go. Okay, so you guys both touched on this a little bit. Let's help the people out who are filling out their brackets here a little bit, and some futures stuff here as well. J-Lo, who do you have in your Final Four championship game? And I guess I should say, who do you have UConn beating in the championship game?
All right. Again, I'm very chalky here. Maybe it's because a lot of the outside of UConn, all the other number one seeds kind of just backed into the postseason and didn't win their conference tournament game. So maybe there's a bit of recency bias and people are going to look to the 2 and 3 for value, but I'm going to go super chalky here. So I'm going to say Baylor comes out of the West. Great scoring team. Like I said, good depth. They've been there before. They know how to win. UConn out of the East. I got Houston coming out of the South. I'm going to take Purdue out of the Midwest. The Boilermakers not really messing around. They got bounced last year as a number one seed. First time since Virginia. That happened to Virginia in 2018, and then Virginia went on to win the whole damn thing in 2019. I don't know if Purdue has it, but they're a number one seed that's playing with a chip on their shoulder, and they have one of the best players in the country, obviously. So pretty chalky. And then I've got UConn beating Baylor, Houston beating Purdue, and then UConn wins back-to-back, first time since Florida in the mid-2000s. Joe, I know how you like your trends, right?
Indeed.
So I tweeted this out earlier today. So since 2012 NCAA tournament, only four Final Four teams have ranked outside of the top 40 in defensive efficiency at KenPom. And Miami was one last year, and Duke was one the year before. But you have UConn 11th in that rating, Houston second, Purdue 21st, and then Baylor is my outlier at 64th in that one. So defense wins championships, especially when it comes to March Madness.
Okay, Ro, what are you saying here? Final Four, national championship game, and I'm guessing you're taking Arizona to win it, right?
Yep. So the Final Four I've got UConn. You know, like J-Lo said, I mean, this team is absolutely loaded. They've also just been so clinical. This is a team that when they play against bad teams, they just destroy them. You know, good experience, kind of good in every kind of spot on the floor. So I do see them getting to the Final Four. Once they get to the Final Four, though, I do think Arizona knocks them off. I think the Wildcats match up very well with them, especially in the backcourt, especially, you know, in terms of their size down low. On the other side of the bracket, I've got Houston and Kansas making it out. Like I said, Kansas is a little bit of a long shot there, but I like that play. You can get them at plus 1,000 to make the Final Four, and I think that's some good value as well with how vulnerable I think Purdue and the Vols are. As far as Houston goes, I mean, this is a team that I think we kind of know what Houston's weakness is. When they play tough defensive teams, they can struggle a little bit, you know, I think once you get into the South bracket, you kind of look at the team they're facing. There's a lot of weak defensive teams there. I mean, if you got Kentucky, you've got Marquette. Those are teams that are kind of soft, and I think Houston is tough enough to beat them. I also like the fact that Houston, once you get into the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16, they're going to be playing those games in Dallas. So I think it's a pretty easy road for them to get into the Final Four.
Okay. Next up here, it's always one of the funnest storylines for March Madness. Who's going to be the Cinderella? Or maybe we get two Cinderellas, who knows? But who's a team, an under-the-radar team that people might be sleeping on, that might be worth advancing in your brackets and maybe sprinkling that money line a little bit? What do you think, J-Lo?
I'm going to look to South Carolina in the Midwest. This is a team that's kind of been underlooked or kind of underappreciated or overlooked all year. Were picked, I think, to finish at the bottom of the SEC and continued to, you know, play really well all conference schedule. They got some wins over a lot of those teams that are in the big dance out of the SEC. And so they're battle tested and they have kind of a favorable draw as a number six seed. They take on Oregon, which won the Pac-12 tournament, but was playing really bad basketball the second half of Pac-12 plays, specifically on defense. Definitely could be a big letdown spot for the Ducks. They're done and not as good as kind of where they are in this tournament here. And then they could face Creighton in the round of 32. And the Blue Jays are similar to South Carolina in that they are a big team. They want to bang around inside. They play a methodical pace. So I think the matchups in those first two games suit South Carolina pretty well, too. And I think the Gamecocks could continue to exceed everyone's expectations and maybe get to the Sweet 16.
Okay, Ro, what do you think your favorite Cinderella candidate for the tournament here?
You know, there's a few Cinderella teams I like. There's some few good spots here. But the thing is, like McNeese State, I do like them in the first round. But if they get through the first round, they probably play Kansas in the second. Like I already said, I think Kansas gets pretty far. Florida Atlantic's another interesting team because no one's sleeping on them this year. But they're still a relatively low seed, and they're still extremely talented. They pretty much bring back their entire team from last year. But if FAU gets past the first round, they're probably facing UConn in the second round. So those are a couple of teams that I think could definitely pull off the upset in the first round, but things get really tough for them after that. So I have James Madison as my Cinderella team. I definitely think they can knock off Wisconsin in round one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if they get past that, they face probably Duke in round two. And I think Duke has definitely shown some cracks. They were a team that I really liked at the start of the season, but they've just been so up and down. And I'm not sold on the guys they face in the ACC.
Okay, Kevin Larson in the live chat says, no respect for Iowa State. How dare you all?
I like Iowa State. They just, like, I like the way that they go about their business. Defense tends to travel, which is what you do during conference time. But if they're not able to cause chaos, if they're not able to score off turnovers, if they get sucked into a half-court set, they're going to have trouble scoring the basketball.
Okay, guys, so J-Lo and Ro are going to be back with us on Thursday and Friday, but you might not necessarily want to wait till game day and a couple hours before tip to get your bets in. So let me ask you guys, is there any bets that have stood out to you right now for whether it be the play-in or round one? J-Lo, anything on your radar?
Yeah, I got a couple, and I'm going to be covering the West region for covers. And so I grabbed Grand Canyon last night, +5.5. It was as low as +3.5. It's been bet back up, sitting around +5.5. But, you know, this is a team here that a lot of the projections have a much closer matchup against St. Mary's, around a 4-point difference in those ones here. But this is a team that comes out of the Western Athletic Conference, looks very, very good, and won't be kind of thrown off by the tournament or any other opponent. They played, beat SDSU. They played South Carolina. So they've played some quality teams in non-conference play. They're a good defensive team. They're a good offensive team. And then they have a proven superstar, Tyon Grant Foster, who was a Kansas product, went to DePaul, had a scary incident in which he collapsed, missed two seasons, but he's come back. He's on the radar of NBA teams, averaging almost 20 points per game. And in a lot of games, I look and see who has the best player on the floor. And for me, it's Grand Canyon here. So I like them as a +5.5 underdog. And then I took the over in New Mexico and Clemson. This one actually opened 147.5. I was doing the calculations last night. I had to run out and make some food and never really got back to bet it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I wanted to bet that game. And it went up to 149 this morning. It's now sitting as high as 150.5 right now. But New Mexico, one of the fastest paced teams in the country, score a ton of points. And then Clemson, too, very efficient on offense. They can put up points. The last time they played a pace like this, they played Syracuse. They scored 90 points in that game. Like I said, the total for this one was 147.5. A lot of the models out there calling for 153 or higher. So there's still some headroom here if you could find the low end of the total. Like I said, it's around I think 149 is still available at some books right now. I got it at 149. It was opened as 147. So some big moves on the total for this one.
Okay, yeah. So look to shop around on that one and every bet you make, for that matter. Okay, Ro, what are you betting on here for play-ins and round one here so far?
So I got a few ones. Let's start off with Clemson, New Mexico, because J-Lo was just talking about that. I like Clemson on the money line here. It's kind of an interesting situation because you got the 6-seed Clemson taking on 11-seed in New Mexico, but Clemson's actually catching a couple of points. New Mexico are favored here. New Mexico is also a team that a lot of people are talking about as a potential Cinderella squad. But, I think the public might be a little bit too high on the Mountain West. Yes, the Mountain West is a good conference, but let's not go crazy here. Clemson is a pretty good team itself. It's extremely experienced, very efficient on offense. They've got like guys like PJ Hall, really good backcourt with Chase Hunter and Joseph Girard. And as far as New Mexico goes, they haven't really played any, Power Six teams this year. They only had one decent, half-decent opponent in their non-conference schedule. That was St. Mary's. They lost by double digits. Pretty inconsistent play during the regular season as well. Went 10-8 in conference play before catching fire in the tournament. I think they might have blown their load in the tournament, and I don't think they really match up that well with a Clemson squad that shoots the ball extremely well. So I think Clemson ends up winning here, and weirdly enough, surprising a lot of people as maybe the 6-seed. I also really like Alabama here. J-Lo also pointed out that teams with bad defenses do not do well in March. Alabama has a bad defense. I do think they're fraudulent, but I think they take care of business in round one. We're seeing a relatively low spread here, -9.5 against Charleston. Charleston's a team that's even worse on defense, 176th in the country in adjusted defense. They also play at a fast pace, so they're going to feed right into Alabama's up-tempo style. And, Charleston is efficient on offense, but they don't have a lot of firepower. Only three guys averaging double digits in points. Their leading scorer averages just 12.8 points per game. So in what's probably going to be a fast-paced game, I don't think they have the firepower or the athleticism to keep up with Bama. A couple of other plays I briefly touched on earlier. McNeese State +6.5 against Gonzaga. McNeese State, kind of looks like a Cinderella squad as well. Really good defense, 11th in the country in defensive efficiency. Really good three-point shooting team. Gonzaga's been weak against the three-point shot, and the Zags simply aren't the juggernaut they were in the past. Not even the best team in the WCC this year. Like I said, James Madison is my Cinderella squad. Really talented team there. Taking on Wisconsin in the first round. Wisconsin is a team that's been really up and down, and they're catching. So James Madison's catching 5.5 points here. Wisconsin, we know, always super slow pace, so it's never easy to win with margin. And I think James Madison might end up beating them here. Other thing too is a lot of times when you see these Power Six conference teams face smaller school opponents like James Madison, there's big advantages when it comes to athleticism and size. That's not the case here. James Madison has terrific size, and Wisconsin, we know, are not a team filled with athletes. So I think James Madison wins this one outright here, but I'll take the points at +5.5.
Okay, there you have it. Plenty of actionable content here from the fellas, our official March Madness betting preview, but that's just a little appetizer here because we're going to be all over this thing over at covers.com. Of course, make sure you follow the guys on X. I'm sure they'll be dropping some tidbits there throughout the week and linking to all of their content over on the website. And of course, we're going to be with you throughout the entirety of the tournament. We're going to be going a bit early too. Obviously, the game started in the early afternoon, so we're going to be on at 10:30 Eastern on Thursday and Friday. These guys will be right back with us then. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining. Best of luck with the bets and best of luck with the avalanche of work you have ahead of you.
Yeah, this is nothing after conference tournament week. This is easy.
Oh, yeah. It's college basketball Christmas right here. So lots of plays, lots of angles to look forward to.
Awesome, guys. Thank you very much. We'll catch you guys on Thursday.
All right. Good luck. Thanks, Joe. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Okay, that does it for today's show. Thank you very much to everybody who tuned in today. Quick recap of my NBA picks that I gave out off the top of the show. Pistons +15 in Boston. Okoro over 11.5 points. Anthony Simons over 3.5 threes. And Hawks Lakers over 225.5. If you guys enjoy the show, it is very easy to let us know. Just hit the like button. right down there. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. Dell asking, Joe, what's your favorite MLB future? I'm actually doing an article for covers.com tomorrow. My favorite bets. I don't like this team at all, but the Tampa Bay Rays to win the AL East are around plus 500. The Yankees are favored to win that division for some reason. Now, I don't like Tampa Bay. They're one of the least sexy teams in the league, but it's a very similar team to last year. They lost a couple of guys, Glasnow, but he was in and out of the lineup throughout the season. So that's one that I do like. I'm going to get into some player over-unders, season-long prop bets as well. So I will have more on that tomorrow. So keep your eyes peeled to my X account, where I will drop the link to that article, which will go up on Covers here tomorrow. So that's it. Make sure you head on over to covers.com for all of your March Madness betting needs. Make sure you are following. Make sure you are liking. Make sure you are subscribing. Best of luck with your bets tonight, guys. We will catch you again on Wednesday. Woo!